The Columbia Workshop presents Wake Up and Die, a psychological drama of married life written by John K. Lagerman and featuring Frank Lovejoy and Elsa May Gordon in the principal roles. Wake Up and Die is Mr. Lagerman's first radio script, although he has written extensively for other media. We now present Wake Up and Die.
Of torture known to mankind, the most common is self-inflicted. It's the mechanical annihilation of sleep, accomplished by an intricate device known as the alarm clock. Every weekday morning, from as early as 3 and 4 to as late as 9 and 10, approximately 15 million alarm clocks perform major operations on some 20 million Americans. The instruments are of many types. Some of them cut through sleep with the suave urgency of a knife-slicing cantaloupe.
Oh, another day, another dollar.
Other instruments call up a picture of a cheerful sadist, whistling gaily as he jabs pins in his victim.
Head. Will that thing never run down? Where's my mule? Oh.
Alarm clocks come in many guises, and various are their ways. But the great majority still employ the same old methods. Comparable in military tactics to the barrage of shrapnel. The instrument which we hear now is the repeater type. It rests on a dressing table in the bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. George Blossom. They're both somewhere in the early 30s. They have a fairly comfortable place here, inner spring mattress and all. The furniture is matched, painted to resemble the natural wood. The bureau seems to be given over to Mr. Blossom. One of the top drawers has a firm bite on the cuffs of his trousers. The alarm is still ringing, though more weakly now. A bowl of artificial nasturtiums has been arranged on the telephone stand near the window. Mr. Blossom, through the blue monotone of his dream, has heard the alarm. His mouth opens, his lips move silently, he stirs.
Quick, Margie. Margie, get off the track. Margie, quick, here it comes. The train. Look out, look out! Margie, poor little Margie, run down by the locomotive. Finest, sweetest little wife a man ever had.
What goes on anyway?
Gee, I thought you were hit by an express train.
The alarm, you sap. You're dreaming. Express train. Think you'd gone nuts or something. Waking me up with that kind of talk. Happened just a little too often lately to laugh it off.
Voice goes through me like the sound she makes filing her nails. A busy like sir.
Your own mother told me once she used to worry about you as a child. Afraid you might take after the old man, I guess. You know what your boss McGuire told you the last time you were late. After all, you know, jobs don't grow
on and on and on and on she goes, and where she stops, she pulled the covers over my head. So, now get that tune straight, the one I'm always going to write.
And it won't do you any good to bury your head in the covers. I can take just so much and no more.
Voice, wrong edge of a musical
floor. You should have known when you married me that you couldn't get by with this forever.
Oh. Take my hand and skip with me, Margie. Margie. It's a good tune. I should have been a songwriter. Not tied down to the desk that way. None of your lip, Mr. McGuire. hit $2 million. Yeah, yeah.
That is George Blossom, you know, the songwriter.
He stayed with the million.
Nice fellow, though.
Democratic. Wrote that song that goes, Margie, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I'm always thinking of you, Ma. Gee, did I compose that, too? Oh, what a guy I am. Why, they were playing that on the Sandy Hook steamer. Yeah, that did all right. Moonlight excursion, rain or shine. Free show, free dance. 6 bits a head, dollar a couple. Unaccompanied girls free. Oh, that's some dance floor. Get into that stag line, boy, and look him over. Let him see you. Don't smile, you dope look bored. Oh, gee, that's some swell dancer, that little one in the fluffy pink. She might take on weight later on. That's Marge. Only I don't know it yet. Oh, boy, she's cute. Wonder what she's like. Wonder what's her name. Wonder if she let me cut in. They're dancing around this way. Oh, some baby. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Cut in now. Go on, go on. She ain't the Queen of Sheba. Pardon me, miss. May I? Oh, gee. Nice. Smooth. Gee, she's some girl. Dark on deck. Let's get away from this noise. Just out the door, up the stairways, top deck. Just through this door, and we're on deck.
Lights. Look. We're almost back, we are.
Oh, come on, Marge. One kiss won't hurt you.
No, no.
You know how I feel about you.
No, no, Georgie. Somebody might see us.
What if they do? Who cares? Look, straight up. Shooting star.
Where?
There.
Oh, Georgie, you're so romantic, aren't you? You got lipstick all over your face.
Oh. Oh, no, Marge, you mustn't laugh. Where are you? Listen, Marge, I love you. Marge, that's nothing to laugh about. Can you hear me? I want to marry. Take care of me. Please don't laugh, Margie. This is important. Can't you hear me? We'll have a home, kids, and a way of life. Marge, where are you? We're going to stand for something, see? You and I, hand in hand, two against the world, Margie.
Margie, look at me, you little fool. Open your eyes and look at me.
Margie, don't look at me like that. What's happened? She's not Margie. Where's Margie? She was young. She wore a fluffy pink dress. We were on a boat. We were in love, and now she's gone. Margie's gone, and now you're Margie. You. No, she can't do this to me. She can't change like this. She knew all the time, and she let me go on. She all the time in that fluffy pink dress. Was she?
Open your eyes, I tell you. Wake up. You're a person to death, shaking that way in your sleep, yelping, making faces like you're having a nightmare.
Oh, sure. Sure, I'm getting up. There's plenty of time, plenty of time. Don't worry, your little head. See, I'm awake now. Oh, up on the elbows, man. You see, Margie? Oh, that's it, easy, man. Plenty of time. Hold it there. 2 little seconds. 3 little seconds. Each little second. Lousy day. Sour, vinegary light. Bad breath as day is blowing in the window. Everybody has a bad day today. Millions and millions of bad days today. Another yawn coming. Hold it, man. Need more strength. My wind's bad. Can't take it like I used to. The one time I swam a river on a dare. Time clown. Washing a monument with Marge. Postcards, nation's capital, wonderful experience, educational. Good old Marge. So sure of herself in sleep. Holding her mouth funny and stiff like when she's mad and she doesn't know what it's all about. But sure of things. Instead of her mouth. Roses red, violets blue. Huh, Marge? Starve, fever, feed cold. Right, Marge? Good old Marge, ain't she the one? Have to kid her along. I've outgrown her, I guess. I always know just what to expect and what she'll say. Georgie, this has gone far enough.
Yes, there he is, asleep again. Snoring. Big lazy lump. Well, I might as well sleep a while longer myself. Nothing I can do. Fine, ambitious guy I picked for a husband. Night he cut in on Sandy Hook excursion boat. All hot and damp and wilted. Had it all figured out, he did. Always knows what he wants before he feels like it. And me so tired, shopworking all day, and no word from... Don't think his name, or you'll begin thinking about him. Wonder what he's doing now. If he remembers anything. He jilted me. Wasn't at the pier, so I went alone. Along comes Georgie. He'll do, he'll do. Cutting in and right away hot-footing it for the deck. Carrying hook, line, and sinker. Shooting star. Him and his shooting stars. Romantic. Like runs in a stocking. Him fussing around, scared to death of me and hating me for it and kissing me on a dare with himself. Good old Margie, yeah. But how about me? How about me, myself? Me, not you. Not just anybody, but me, Margie Anderson. That was so long ago. 2244 and a half East Bedford Street. Two-family house, fine corner location, just above all-night delicatessens. Neon sign through the front window. Sure, sure. Just like moonlight, you said. Let's turn off the lights and let the moonlight in. Red moonlight coming in the window upside down from the street. I get it. You couldn't see me in that light. It was fine that way, wasn't it? You could talk to yourself that way. Make love to yourself. Me sitting there waiting, thinking you'll snap out of it, poor sap. I can just hear you.
Oh, gee, honey, you're beautiful tonight. I don't mean that you're not always beautiful. I just mean that, you know... Got a little surprise for you tonight, honey. I bet you can't guess.
I just bet. Candy. The kind you like. Or flowers. Yeah, flowers. Those flowers are really something.
I always figure it's not the cost, but the feeling that's behind a gift that counts. How about a little kiss?
Proletarian orchids from the subway entrance. 35 cents a bunch at the outside. Well, flowers are flowers, aren't they, Georgie? Even if they smell of the BMT. You can always kid yourself you're giving the little woman a break.
It's the little things, I always say, that count with a woman. Now, you take my wife.
And here you are, without all those little things. Here you lie, as God made you. Without your hair slick, without your two pants suits, without your comic strip smart talk, without all the little gestures, like picking your back teeth with your little finger, or your imitation of your pal Jeff Hadley's way of laughing through his snozzle. What a man. And this is my husband. This is my life.
Well, for better or worse, Marge, as the Justice of the Peace just said, we're hitched, Margie. Gee, we're really married.
Really married. That was 10 years ago when it happened. I said to myself, now that we're married, things will be different. And then the months and the years began to march by. January, February, March. April, May, June,
July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March.
Georgie's kind of slow on the uptake, but when we move into a place of our own, we'll be all set.
October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July.
We don't seem to be getting much of any place. Well, but then I guess it's really this depression. When prosperity comes again.
May, June, July, August, September, October, November.
It takes a long time for people to adjust themselves, I guess. Maybe by next year. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. tomorrow and tomorrow.
Before we're 30, something's sure to break Horace.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Maybe if we had a child.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
I'm getting old. Getting gray hair and wrinkles.
Tomorrow and tomorrow.
If I could only look younger.
Tomorrow and tomorrow.
Too late.
That's the woman for you. Always fussing around with her face and worrying about fat.
I had a voice once. People said I looked like Joan Crawford. Said I should go into the movies. What a laugh. I had brains, too. Could have learned shorthand, waited around a while. Could have been a nurse. People needing me, really needing me.
Marge, darling, I need you.
Instead, I got that. Sure, you need me. Like you need a street address. Like you need a mirror to shave by, a tune you can whistle in the dark. Yeah, sure, you need me. And I'm sick and fed up with it. I'm sick and fed up with it, I tell you. Your everlasting procrastination. Other men have jobs and have to get up. You think you're any better than they are? Who do you think you are, anyway? Yes, who do you think you are?
Go on, Marge. Go on. Who do I think I am, anyway? Who am I, anyway? I am I. With the pie in the sky, I am I till the day I die. I am... Who?
Well, who are you? Speak up, man. Tell the jury your name.
Why, it's George Blossom. What have I done? Why am I here in court? Why does everybody look at me as though I'd committed a crime?
You'll have a fair trial, my boy. And may God help you when the jury delivers its verdict. This is your attorney appointed by the court.
Why, it's Marge. What are you doing here, Marge, dressed up like that? You're supposed to be home waiting for me to get back from the office. Why don't you answer me? Oh, come on, Marge. Take off those horn-rimmed glasses and tell these people who you are. Tell them that this is all a joke.
This is no joke, as you will soon discover, George Blossom. This court is convened to discover who you are, or if you are anybody at all. I am your defense attorney. Your fate is in my hands. See that you show the proper respect for counsel.
The defendant will now take the witness chair.
Okay, Your Honor. There. But, Your Honor, can't you tell the jury not to look at me like that? Can't they just act natural? Gentlemen, you needn't stare at me. You know me. Can't you smile? Can't you give me any sign? You there, you're my boss, McGuire. I work for you. I see you every day. Well, maybe I'm late once in a while, but that's human, isn't it? And you're my dentist. We're old friends. It's true, I owe you a little money. And you there. That's Jeff Hadley, an old friend of mine, a real sidekick. Judge, you'd die if you could hear some of the scrapes we've been through together. We're both married now and settled down, but we're still buddies, though. See one another every week, play bridge for a tenth of a cent a point.
The witness's appeal to the jury is out of order and useless, too, since all the gentlemen in question are stone deaf. Counsel will now proceed with the examination of the witness.
Who are you? Who are you?
I am George. I'm 32 years old. I am employed by...
Who are you?
Yes, who are you?
Yes. Who? Is he a witness? Who is he?
I'm an American. I was born in the city. My parents were American. I drink a little now and then, but I'm not what you call a tippler. I go to the movies once in a while for relaxation. I play golf when I can. I sing a fair tenor. I swim a little. I'm a Protestant, although my grandmother on my mother's side was a Catholic. But I'm as good as the next fellow. I'm a citizen and a taxpayer. I voted the Republican ticket in 1936.
Death for the nonentity.
Death.
No, Margie. God, don't let him do that. Where are you, Margie? Margie, don't let him do it. Margie.
Yes, stop grabbing at me. Let you tear all the covers off. What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. I must have dropped off to sleep again. Getting up now, I can't stay in bed forever. Just 2 minutes. All right, Marge. I'll be getting up now. I can be out of here in less than 10 minutes.
I just remembered, Georgie. We're going to the Hadleys tonight.
All right, Marge, we'll go. We'll go to the Hadleys. Sure, we'll go. We won't get into that old argument again. If I could only talk straight to her. If I could only say no. We're fed up with the Hadleys just as the Hadleys are fed up with us. We're fed up to the teeth with this apartment, the city, the way of life, and each other. I can only break it off. This job, this routine, this getting up to nothing, coming back to nothing. If we could only come out with it. But the lie has gone too far. We can't break it. It's our life together now. We both know it's a lie, but we can't say it. I used to plot ways of doing it. I'd suggest doing screwy things in the hope it would come out. Like getting drunk together. I can just hear myself telling Marge last week.
Well, boys, it's Friday night. We got 2 whole days to kill. 2 whole days with no office hours. Now, suppose you and I act like a couple of young squirts tonight, huh? Suppose you put on that low neck number, and I'll get into a boiled shirt, and we'll have ourselves a time. Maybe spend a little money and get a little tight and act a little foolish. What do you say, Bill?
Oh, I don't know, George. Can we do it some other night? Where would we go anyway, all by ourselves?
Anywhere, everywhere. And why shouldn't we go by ourselves? The town's ours. If we feel like taking it. We deserve a little spree every once in a while.
Oh, Georgie, you do get the craziest ideas. All of a sudden, you want to do something. Besides, I haven't got anything to wear. My one evening dress is way out of date. My hair isn't fixed. I'd look like the rest.
Now, you look swell. I remember that dress. It's my favorite. Your hair looks fine. What's the matter?
Besides, Georgie, there's a question of money. I really can't afford it. We haven't paid our laundry bill or the dry cleaning bill for a month. The rent's coming due.
All right, forget it. It was just one of my crazy ideas. All my ideas are crazy, according to you.
It's yours.
Forget it, I said. I'm going out. I'll take a walk around the block or something. I'll see you later.
And I go up. When I got back, she might be there. She might not. Sometimes after a fight, she'd stay out very late, seeing a movie over and over and over and over again. I guess it used to drive me nuts. When we made up, I'd go overboard on the soft side.
Margie, you're a sweet one. I guess I made things pretty tough for you at times, but... a terrible heel, Margie.
Oh, none of that now, Georgie. Go on away. I don't feel like it now.
But honest, I mean it, Margie. Where would I be without you? What would I have to live for? Nothing at all. I wouldn't want to go on without you. I know I don't deserve you, Margie.
Oh, don't be silly, George. Cut it.
Something always got in our way. Attitudes got in our way. We could never think up any of our own. There were the attitudes we picked up from everywhere. The movies, feature sections of the newspapers, comedy programs on the radio, childhood playmates, popular songs, advertisements. The attitudes never really belonged to us at all. If she ever came out with one idea of her own, I'd fall over backwards. She's still scared to death I may someday get an original idea and stick to it. Like staying right here and letting all this pass by. She don't have to worry. I only get those ideas in my sleep. I'll be awake soon. I'll get up soon, and I'll feed myself into the revolving day. She doesn't have to worry, but she is worrying, isn't she? She's worried about my being late, my losing my job, my saying to heck with the whole lying mess and starting over again. While I'm still lying here, she's overdue on her next line. Is she gone back to sleep and forgotten her lines? I'll count 10, and if she hasn't spoken, I better wait.
Wants coaxing, he does. Getting a big kick out of this. Thinks he's tantalizing me. Going to give the little woman a scare, I suppose. Lying there, holding back that silly grin on that little mussed-up face of his. Makes him feel like a big shot, doesn't it? Holding his eyes closed. Sure he knows just what I'll do next. Ain't he the big-hearted Joe? What a man. Kicked around all day in a two-for-a-nickel job. Taking orders, licking boots, gossiping in whispers. No wonder by 5 o'clock his ego is punch drunk. No wonder when he gets home he can't look at me. He's got that fishy glaze over his eyes. Got to get the old legal fixed up first. Well, a couple of drinks helps that. Poor little wise guy. Let him have his fun, enjoy his little joke. I'll come across once more. Get up now, Georgie. This has gotten beyond the fooling stage, and you've got to hop on it. Come on, look at the clock. I don't want to have to tell you again.
I don't want to have to tell you again. She said it, and I haven't budged. I haven't budged. Not yet, anyway. And it's late. It'll soon be too late. What if I didn't move at all? What if I just lay here until it was too late? Well, I'd lose my job. Then what?
Oh, he doesn't get up. Keeps his eyes closed. He's not asleep, though. I know him. I know him so well. It's awful to know a man so well that even his reasons for being alive seem like stale memories of something that might have been. Something you don't even want anymore. That's the way I know Georgie. Yet he hasn't gotten up. He knows it's late. Later than it's ever been. Maybe he's suddenly got the guts to say no. Maybe there's something in him that I don't know to death. Maybe he is somebody. Somebody stubborn and alive. Somebody they can't kick around forever. Somebody I could hold on to. Maybe.
Later, 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 later. I can hear the clock. Every tick of it makes it harder to lie here. Every tick of it brings me closer to the guy inside of me. The guy that can say yes or no. The guy that can look around and watch the sun come up and go down. See all that's going on in the world. The fighting, the living, the dying. And see all that goes on in the world and then say to himself, I'm the guy that this is all about. I can feel that guy inside of me. If I could be him. This guy, if I could be him, I'd just lie here and let the clock tick and don't move and don't say anything and don't think and don't move. Time will go on by itself. The whole thing will go on by itself and I'll be free of it. If I can just hold on here. It's getting late. Late. Too late to be late. Too late to be Georgie. Too late to be anybody but me. My job must be gone by now at the office. They'll think of... I don't care what they think. Don't move. Keep quiet, that's it. Silence in your mind. Room to be yourself. You can hear Margie breathing and she'll be wondering. Just hold on to yourself now. Shut the rest out. Let it pass. Quiet. Quiet, that's it. There's room now in my head for this guy the world is all about. Just a little while now. Quiet. Quiet.
Hello. Oh, Mr. McGuire. Oh, yes, yes, this is he, yes. Yes, sir, okay, right away, sir. I overslept, sir. Yes, sir, I'm sorry, sir, but yes, sir, yes, sir.
You've been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of Wake Up and Die by John K. Lagerman, a writer new to radio. The role of Georgie was played by Frank Lovejoy and that of Margie by Elsie May Gordon. Lynn Murray composed and conducted the musical score, and special choric effects were arranged by Norman Corwin, under whose direction the program was produced. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will bring you another new name to its series, Arthur Miller. Mr. Miller has dramatized the story of William Ireland, the notorious Shakespeare forger of the past century. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.